You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire.
Germany will hold elections Sunday, and the Russian cyber operators seem quiet. Too quiet. Switzerland and Singapore both report sustaining state-sponsored cyber espionage attempts. ISIS howls for its lone wolves to hit soft targets. The Equifax breach news isn't getting any better. Cisco finds a back door in an Avast security product. Our mine hackers hit Vivo to redress an insult delivered over LinkedIn. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Monday, September 18, 2017. As Germany prepares for Sunday's federal elections, the country remains on high alert for last-minute Russian election meddling. This is especially true after reports of vulnerabilities in the nation's electronic voting systems led people to fear manipulation of the count, and after episodes of apparent attempts at influence operations earlier this summer. But so far, with the election less than a week away, the mystery is that Russian influence operations and attempts at disruption have fallen off dramatically, so the dog isn't barking. It's unknown whether this is because Russian involvement in the election is a myth. Basically, this is the official Russian position, well represented in the media by RT, but taken seriously by few. Or because German security measures have been remarkably effective during the electoral season's endgame, or for some other reason. Switzerland's defense ministry has announced that it detected and blocked state-sponsored attempts at intruding into the ministry's networks. The incident, said to have occurred in July, isn't attributed to any specific nation, but sources suggest that it showed similarity to Turla activity. Turla has been connected by many security researchers with Russian espionage services. Singapore's government has also said that an unnamed agency was probed by a foreign cyber espionage campaign late last year. Sources don't name the state suspected, but said that it was one that had hitherto not been particularly active in the East Asia and Pacific region. ISIS has claimed responsibility for Friday's fizzled but damaging bombing in London's Tube. The ISIS soldier suspected in the attack is in custody, apparently tracked down in large part because security cameras, practically ubiquitous in London, followed him and his distinctive red hat away from the scene of the attack. Last week, officials of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security said that recent hurricanes had raised U.S. vulnerability to terrorist attack. Resources are stretched thin, law enforcement and first responders are coping with damaged infrastructure, and large concentrations of potential victims are crowded into necessarily weakly secured emergency location sites. And ISIS appears primed to take advantage of the natural disasters. The caliphate has been howling to its lone wolves over Twitter to point out the opportunity they have to strike. Law enforcement authorities are calling the chatter more aspirational than operational, but they're watching it closely. ISIS continues to lose ground in its core areas of operation. Indeed, the physical territory it can be said to control has largely vanished under military pressure. Even ISIS rivals in the region, like the more jihadist-than-ISIS hardcore represented by Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, are fragmenting under external pressure and internal dissent. This seems to have had the effect of causing jihadist extremism to metastasize outside the Middle East. General Joseph Fotel, commander of U.S. Central Command, said last week that this was to be expected. In his closing keynote at last week's Billington Cybersecurity Summit, he said, quote, "As we've taken away the physical caliphate, a virtual caliphate has arisen. We need to defeat ISIS in cyberspace," end quote. He emphasized that ISIS was active mainly in attempts to shape the information environment, not in traditional hacking. Thus, its concentration on inspiration and the perceived necessity of finding some effective counter-messaging. In the meantime, vigilance online would seem to be in order. Effects of the Equifax breach continue to expand, as do investigations. Some 400,000 individuals in the UK are now known to have been affected, as have an unknown number of Canadians. Canadian authorities have opened an investigation, as have at least 31 U.S. states. The incident is now explained unambiguously as exploitation of a known but unpatched Apache Struts vulnerability. Equifax has attracted generally bad reviews not only for a failure to patch, but even more so for its slow disclosure and less than fully successful incident response. The public communications aspects of that response have been notably poorly executed. The company has been punished in the stock market, with its share price down sharply since the breach was disclosed on September 14th. That drop may have reached at least a temporary bottom today, as the stock, as of this writing, appears to be trading sideways. The effects of the breach are being felt elsewhere in the sector, as Representative Carolyn Maloney, a Democrat from New York, has asked the CEOs of rival credit reporting agencies Experian and TransUnion for details of their own security measures. Congressional dissatisfaction with the credit bureau security seems clearly bipartisan. Just awful is how the Republican chair of the House Energy and Commerce Committee characterized some of the poor digital hygiene revealed under the scrutiny prompted by the breach. Representative Greg Walden, a Republican from Oregon, was commenting specifically on the use of admin as the password on administrative accounts, but he also offered a foreshadowing of what's likely to come next. Quote, "You can't stop stupidity. You can't legislate against it, but you can hold people accountable for it," end quote. Cisco reports that Avast's CC Cleaner security product, version 5.33, was infected with a multi-stage backdoor, apparently introduced in the supply chain. Cisco's Talos Research Group observed suspicious activity from the CC Cleaner app, and upon investigation determined that when the app was downloaded, its installation executable was signed with a valid digital signature. CC Cleaner, however, wasn't the only application that arrived in the download. It was accompanied by a malicious payload that included both a domain generation algorithm and hard-coded command and control functionality. Talos reads this as an indication that somewhere along the line the development or signing process was compromised. The security company recommends that users of the Avast product either restore to its pre-August 15th state or upgrade to version 5.34. We're spending tomorrow with our friends and neighbors at the Johns Hopkins University as we attend the 4th Annual Cybersecurity Conference for Executives. Watch for live tweets tomorrow and coverage this week. We launched Research Saturday this weekend, a new weekly podcast that concentrates on current research in cybersecurity. The first edition was a conversation about the Cobian rat with Deepan Desai, Senior Director of Security Research and Operations at Zscaler. We hope you'll give it a listen. Finally, the phony gray hats of Our Mine have gone after Vivo, breaching the video service and offering to leak over 3 terabytes of stolen data, most of which strike observers as fairly anodyne, neither sensitive nor discreditable nor even valuable. It was, however, a breach, as Vivo acknowledged, and that in itself is embarrassing. The motive for the attack seems to be petty. It's apparently revenge for the disrespect and consequent wounded self-regard Our Mine says it suffered from a Vivo employee who was rude to them on LinkedIn. So, when we say phony gray hats with petty motives, we mean that in the nicest and most respectful way possible.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI. Don't struggle to align your organization's cybersecurity with business risk. Get the only solution that goes beyond reacting to threats with vulnerability and risk monitoring. You need the next evolution of MDR, and only Critical Start delivers it. Critical Start doesn't just monitor and respond to threats. They put you in control by detecting suspicious activities, quickly responding to contain threats, and identifying your most critical assets and protecting them against vulnerabilities and exposures. With continuous visibility, expert guidance, and measurable risk reduction, Critical Start has redefined what it means to manage cyber risk. Demonstrate provable security maturity to your leadership while positioning your program to achieve the greatest risk reduction per dollar spent. Stop fearing risk and start managing it with Critical Start. Visit CriticalStart.com and request a demo today. That's CriticalStart.com.
And I'm pleased to welcome a new partner to the CyberWire podcast. Chris Poulin is a principal at Booz Allen Hamilton Strategic Innovations Group. He heads up their Internet of Things security group at Booz Allen. Chris, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, as we do when we welcome someone new, we want to start off with just some introductions. So why don't we learn a little bit about you? Why don't you tell us about your career path? What led you to cybersecurity?
Ah, okay. So it's interesting. I will say, as an inflection point about 5 years ago, the thing that my entire career had been waiting for was when information security converged with physical security. Mm. So I actually started life in the U.S. Air Force way back when working on satellite systems, and under the National Reconnaissance Office, which you couldn't say back then, by the way. And then I left the Defense Department and started my own business, grew that, so information security. And then I went to work for a startup, QN Labs, who makes a security information and event management system that was eventually bought by IBM. And I actually thought that I was not going to enjoy being part of a 450,000-person company, but I realized, being an entrepreneur, that you are effectively in a country that is under an organizational name of IBM. Hmm. So I struck out and sort of made my way. And that's effectively when the IoT came around. And so I started to work in connected cars and also taken a little bit of machine learning or cognitive computing, as IBM likes to call it. And then after about 5 years, I saw a good opportunity to jump to Booz Allen Hamilton and help to build up their capabilities in the what we're calling connected products, which is effectively connected cars, medical devices, building controls. So the cyber aspect of that for the commercial markets as well as some defense market. My particular focus is commercial, despite my entry into the Department of Defense way back early in my career. And I also work with the industrial control systems cyber team, as well as some of the machine learning folks over here at Booz Allen Hamilton. So I'm sort of a master of everything, but I excel where physical and digital come together.
So what's a typical day for you? What are you doing on a daily basis there?
So, I have a mix of management and technical responsibilities. And so there's sort of a three-legged stool that my responsibilities take the form of. And so part of it is actually working with what we call our Dark Labs team. We have a team of engineers who actually take the tradecraft from some of our defense work, and they bring it over into our Dark Lab. And they'll do things like take apart cars and try to find weaknesses in them. They're very good at taking firmware and extracting it and reversing it. So, you know, it was funny because there was one engineer a long time ago who told me that he wasn't particularly good at writing code, but he was really good at reversing it. And so it turns out that we have a fair amount of people who actually do that kind of work. And interestingly, by the way, they also, because of our defense work, they have been involved in not only the defensive side, which I'm used to on the commercial side, but also, you know, offensive tradecraft as well. So they get to see it from both sides of that. The coin. And then I also manage, you know, the work. That's part of my job, is to move things around and lead people, and a little bit more banal, but at the same time, you get to see the fruits of your labor. Working with the commercial teams and clients is sort of another aspect of that. Because you always have to keep in touch with what clients are asking for. And then the last thing I do a fair amount of, as you can see from this particular podcast, is I do a lot of evangelism. So I go out and speak and talk and try to take both what we're learning from our labs and from our clients and bring them out to the general public to inform them with as little fear, uncertainty, and doubt as possible. That's sort of my bugaboo. I despise fear and uncertainty is what I call it, by the way. I'm not sure where doubt fits in there, but yes, fear and uncertainty.
All right. Chris Poulin, welcome to the show. Glad to have you.
Thank you.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening.
Now a word from our sponsor, Netskope. Netskope is a worldwide leader in SASE and Zero Trust. Its unified platform, Netskope One, provides optimized access and Zero Trust security for people, devices, and data anywhere they go, helping customers reduce risk, accelerate performance, and get unrivaled visibility into any cloud, web, and private application activity. To learn more about how Netskope helps customers be ready for anything on their SASE journey, visit netskope.com.